These animals may be shaped like horseshoes, but they're so, so much more than that. Welcome back to episode 79 of Insects for Fun. I took last week off because turns out moving isn't that easy, especially when you're not fluent in the country's language. But in that time, I noticed a question someone asked on Spotify about the last episode, specifically about whether or not we can make our own plastic using insects. Now, I couldn't find a recipe online that used them, but I'm sure it's possible to modify an existing recipe substituting cornstarch with ground insect remains. This interaction kind of got me thinking, though. If you don't want to write an email but you have a question, you can just ask it on Spotify directly. Or if you're an Apple listener, leave a review on Apple or iTunes with a topic you're interested in or question, and I'll answer it at the top of the show. It's a win-win for both of us. It's really nice to hear from listeners too, because it reminds me that I'm not just talking into the void, and it's a total morale booster. All right, let's get into the episode. Horseshoe crabs are marine arthropods in the family Limulidae, which is the only living group left in the order Xiphocera. These incredible creatures are truly living dinosaurs, barely having changed at all from when they first came into existence around 480 million years ago. Their bodies have two parts, the cephalothorax, or prosoma, and the abdomen, or opisthosoma. They also have 10 legs and a pair of pincers called chelicerae. And if the word chelicerae sounds familiar to you, it should. They belong to Chelicerata, which is the group that houses spiders and other arachnids. Horseshoe crabs, believe it or not, are closer to arachnids than crustaceans. And they aren't crabs at all. Have you ever seen a crab with a tail? I sure haven't. Horseshoe crabs also have their compound eyes embedded into their large cephalothorax, unlike crabs, which always have them on stalks. That being said, I will refer to them as crabs periodically throughout the episode. The shells on these animals, also called a carapace, can range in color from light brown to black, and some even have hues of blue or green. One of the cool things about these animals is that there are only four existing species today, with three out of the four being found in Asian waters. There's the mangrove horseshoe crab, Carcinoscorpius rotundicata, found in the mangroves of South and Southeast Asia. There's the Indo-Pacific or Indian horseshoe crab, Techiplus gigas, which is also found in Southeast Asia. And then over in Japan and East Asia, there is the tri-spine horseshoe crab, Techiplus tridentatus. And lastly, we have the Atlantic or American horseshoe crab, Limulus polyphemus, which can be found in the coastal waters of the North American East Coast. The American species is the most famous, but it's not due to its association with America. You see, the blood from this species is known famously for the creation of LAL, Limulus amebocyte lysate, which is a special test used for checking contamination and safety for vaccines, among other drugs, and it's widely used in pharmaceutical companies. The blood of these horseshoe crabs have saved millions of lives, but unfortunately, it also is somewhat at the cost of their own. Every year, hundreds of thousands of these animals are collected from the shores of the eastern United States and are set up in labs to have their blood drawn. Not all of their blood. Thankfully, people don't do that, but around 30% of their blood is usually taken. And as a result, around 10% or more of them die not long after being returned to the wild. It's a really unfortunate practice, but don't worry, folks. Many countries around the world have recently passed regulations to switch this old practice for using a synthetic test that does the same thing as LAL. And hopefully, in the very near future, the United States will also make the switch. The sad part is this synthetic test has actually been on the market for over 15 years, but there was no major push to make the change until now. We have many more environmental allies and environmentally conscious people in the world today, and among them are those who are actively studying the negative impacts of horseshoe crab population loss. In fact, a recent study has found that lower populations of these animals on the East Coast is negatively impacting the migratory birds, and God forbid anything happens to those precious feathered friends. So I guess we better start caring for those weird-looking dinosaurs in the ocean too. Back in the day, horseshoe crabs were also used as bait to catch eels and whelks, and some people in the past would use the recently deceased horseshoe crabs from bloodletting for their fishing jobs. But those fishing practices are also fading away. On the topic of horseshoe crab blood, I do want to quickly point out that their blood is light and opaque blue, even after making contact with oxygen. The reason is that the proteins in their blood, called hemocyanin, contain copper instead of iron, unlike our blood, which has hemoglobin. It seriously looks like some kind of coconut milk blue raspberry mixed drink, but no one should try drinking this. Okay, let's talk more about horseshoe crab anatomy and behavior. These animals have 9 eyes. The most obvious are the lateral compound eyes, which we can clearly see. But they also have many other smaller eyes located on the top of their shells, which are primarily used for detecting UV light. They even have 2 eyes near their mouth on their underside. Despite having so many eyes, the primary function for them is light detection and identifying other horseshoe crabs through their shapes. I guess their vision isn't that great when it comes to fine details. And because of this, when it comes to finding food, they're constantly sifting through the sand or mud feeling for it. The main entrees are worms like clamworms, sandworms, parasitic worms, really any kind of aquatic worm will do. They also feed on almost all varieties of clams and mollusks. They use their pincer forelegs to crush up the shells before digging in. They don't have jaws, so they can't chew, but they do have a gizzard which also grinds up the food after being swallowed. It's not just other living animals they feed on though. They also feed on carrion as well as algae, which round out their diet. What's interesting is that they are primarily nocturnal, and the reason is to avoid predators. But what exactly are they hiding from? The main predators for these animals are sharks, seabirds, fish, and even sea turtles, particularly loggerheads. Their hard shell is a great defense as they get older, but younger crabs are easy pickings. The eggs are especially preyed upon by seabirds during their spawning season. In warmer climates / tropical places, the breeding season is all year, but it's usually around a full moon or a new moon. In the Atlantic, the crabs will breed during the warmer months between spring and autumn, but the peak times again are during a full or new moon. The reason is that these times offer higher tides, allowing the crabs to lay their eggs in the intertidal zones. Intertidal zones are areas that get submerged during high tide, but are above sea level at lower tides. And the females can lay over 60,000 eggs in their lifetime, usually in groupings of a few thousand. The females are also larger than males, and the male crabs cling onto their backs during mating to fertilize eggs, which they bury, by the way, underneath the sand. Some males just hover around a pair to try and fertilize if they couldn't be the main guy, and some females can actually support multiple guys holding onto her back at once. It takes the eggs a couple weeks to hatch, and it's during this time that migratory birds and other animals will scavenge for and eat them. The horseshoe crabs may lay tons of eggs, but they also have high mortality, so everything kind of evens out. Horseshoe crabs take about 10 years to fully mature, and they go through the most molts within their first year. After that, they have a few molts every year, and it really slows down as they get older. Males take a total of 16 molts, and females take 17, and they can live for over 20 years. Now, I really want to talk about those tails, because they look menacing, but their primary function is to simply help the horseshoe crabs flip themselves over after a swim. These crabs actually swim upside down, using their legs to paddle. And if you've ever had a close encounter with one, you'll notice that the tail can point upwards. This is specifically to lift the body up off the seafloor and rotate it around when they land on their backs. I think I saw a video thumbnail of Coyote Peterson holding a crab with the tail pointing at him like it was some kind of big deal. I didn't watch the video, but I hope he actually educated people. Now, before we end today's episode, I want to share some fun folklore on the horseshoe crab. In Japan, horseshoe crabs are said to be reborn samurai to the warriors who honorably sacrificed their lives in battle. The hard shell is said to be the helmet, and the Japanese name for these is actually kabutogani, which literally translates to helmet crab. Also, if you're a Pokemon fan, you may notice the resemblance to the Pokemon Kabuto, and this Pokemon was in fact inspired by horseshoe crabs. Now, don't go anywhere yet. I want you to keep your phones out and hit the star on Spotify, or even better, rate and write a review on Apple. One review and rating on Apple alone boosts the podcast in the charts by a lot, and it's appreciated so much. We've been charting pretty high in China and the UK recently under science podcasts, which is awesome. Again, you can also leave a comment about a topic you want to hear more about, or even ask a question right in the podcast player app. Spotify makes it real easy, but for iTunes and Apple users, you'll have to leave a review for it to be seen. There is, of course, the Instagram and Facebook page as well, and links to those along with the Discord will be in the show notes. The weather is warming up, so I'll also be adding more vlogs to the Patreon soon. Thanks again for listening.